Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It began long ago. Two young boys in an American town riding their bikes to school and Little League practice. Over the years, the boys became fast friends, united in their love for stories where things would go horribly wrong. Pour yourself a strong beverage and buckle up. You're in the shallow end with Schnepley and Toff.
It's a shame that we didn't start recording maybe 3 minutes sooner, because you could have heard Jethro and I trying to get our mics working and our levels right, and it sounded sort of like this. One, two, three,
one,
four.
Two, one, two.
One, two, one. Wait, what? This isn't working.
No, hang
can
on.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
I can see your little...
Hello? Hello? Yeah, we're broadcast professionals.
That's what the pros do.
Yeah.
They make it sound easy.
That's how we do it downtown, as the kids say.
Oh, the kids.
The kids.
Oh, the kids.
With their boogaloo and their flare pants.
Flare pants.
Yeah, yeah.
What's older, flare pants or flare pens?
Ooh, great question.
Thank you.
I'm going to say flare pants would be.
I'm going to go with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Do they still make flare pens?
I think so. Let me ask Kat. She is a pen aficionado. Kat, do they still manufacture flare pens? Yeah. Yeah, she says.
Yeah.
She said, yeah. Wait, what?
This is interesting. I didn't realize that Kat was into pens, because that means that she and I have two similar hobbies of pens and flashlights.
Yes. Yeah. She's way into, she saw a tactical flashlight at a hardware store, and she keeps talking herself out of buying it. You know, she wants it, but she's like, I don't need that. I've got 14 flashlights already.
Yeah, you can't have too many flashlights.
No.
This is what I've learned.
Especially if you can use one as a weapon.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
So I think I'm going to sneak out to the hardware store and buy her a tactical flashlight.
Nothing says true love like a tactical flashlight.
And maybe a flare pen. I don't know.
And some pants.
And some pants.
Hell, make it a trifecta.
Flare pants, flare pens, and a tactical flashlight.
We didn't talk about who was going to go first. Does yours involve any kind of death or injury?
No. No.
Mine neither.
This is just a stupid guy. Pretty much.
That's funny. My story involves a stupid guy, too.
Would you like to go first this week?
Well, sure.
Have at it.
What the heck? I actually need to give credit to a dear friend of mine who goes to my church, Tom Hanrahan, who forwarded this story idea to me and said, this would be a great shallow end story. And then both of my sisters are phenomenal writers. My sister Lori actually looked at this story for me and, as they say in the industry, polished it because it was okay. I mean, it was the New York Times. I'm not saying they're awful, you know, writers, but Lori took it and made it into a shallow end kind of a delivery. I call this holier than thou.
Okay.
I think you're about to see why. This is about a gentleman named Orlando Coleman, who, like many of us in America, like traveling around the country. I mean, you and Kat are well known for enjoying a road trip, visiting new places.
Oh, we love travel.
Meeting people, seeing the sights. Unlike most of us, though, who've seldom visited a new town, where we falsely presented ourselves as a member of the clergy. Have you and Kat ever gone to a new town and tried to pass yourself off as pastors?
No. That's funny you would say that.
You just had an idea of how to make that work.
I did dress up like a priest once.
Was this work related or just
it was
something you'd always wanted to do?
It was pleasure. it was Halloween, and so I got a priest costume, but then I put zombie makeup on and stuff.
Ooh,
and okay. And like decaying flesh, you know, and stuff, and dirt.
So it was like spooky zombie priest.
Yeah, with dirt all over my hands, and then Kat put on makeup that looked like her face had been ripped off, and she put a fake face in a jar and carried it under her arm. And we were Eleanor Rigsby, who keeps her face in the jar by the door.
Sure.
And I was Father McKenzie wiping the dirt from my hands as I walk from the grave.
Man, that's dedication.
Yeah, nobody got it. Nobody.
I was going to say, what percentage of partygoers immediately said, Beatles?
No, nobody.
No. But you guys knew, and that's what counts. Yeah,
we enjoyed it. Like a fine pair of flare pants.
Our hero, Orlando, made a point of doing just this, Jethro, in a series of small churches all over the country. He would show up at a church, introduce himself as a pastor or bishop, and then he would stick around to win the trust of church-going women, women who belong to these small churches. And these activities actually went a long way beyond just winning their trust. He also won their hearts to the point where he married, at least that we know of, 10 of these women over the past 20-something years.
Wow.
10.
10.
Not 9, not 8, Jethro. 10 women fell in love with and married Orlando Coleman, thinking he was a deeply religious man. This apparently started back in 2001. He was 51 years old. He was from Houston. Let's see. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. 51 minus 20. He was 28 years old. Okay. 2001, he was 28 years old at the time. But old enough to present himself as a clergyman and, you know, get away with it. So back in 2001, he made his first fraudulent marriage, which was, and I'm quoting here from an assistant district attorney in Harris County, Texas, quote, for financial gain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't stop to think about marriage being for financial gain a crime, but I guess it is.
Usually there's very little financial gain in marriage. Usually goes the other way. I mean, I've heard.
The only reason I married Nancy is that, you know, she's got more money than God. But, anyway, this scoundrel decided that this was a great way to make a living, which fascinates me because, like you, Jethro, I have one wife, and making that marriage work seems to be enough to satisfy me. You know what I'm saying?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
One is enough.
What are you?
One is enough.
You're talking gibberish. What is
one shouldn't get greedy when it comes to accumulating spouses or spice, I guess. Plural spouses would be spice.
Is it?
So he decided this was a great way to make a living. So over the years, Coleman traveled to, at least as far as we know, the states of Delaware, Texas, Kentucky, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, Iowa, North Carolina, Virginia, and even some other states that we don't yet know about, with one goal in mind, which was to meet women. But not just any women. These were women at churches where he declared he was a Protestant pastor or bishop, and then he would vividly illustrate his good faith by proposing marriage. And these church-going women believed that this guy's proposal proved that he was a genuine member of the clergy because he obviously wasn't trying to, you know, get him into bed without a wedding ring. I mean, he was behaving like a good and responsible man, except that unbeknownst to these women, he had already left other wives behind.
Did he tell them when he left, or did he just leave?
I think he just left.
Wow.
I think he just left.
And I guess that's simpler.
You don't want to have that difficult decision of it's not you, it's me.
Right.
And hey, baby, I got to take off. So whenever an unsuspecting woman accepted this offer of marriage, this is according to a prosecutor named Vanessa Goosen, Coleman would move in with that woman and she would pay for his housing and his food and pay all of his bills because after all, they were married.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing, according to this prosecutor, Vanessa Goosen, that's the only thing he had to validate his word. The proposal to marry, that was something big. And getting proposed to was a big gesture for all of these women. And that corroborated this guise that he was a godly man. So this is obviously working for him. And this is where one would say, well, so what finally went wrong? How did this guy get found out?
I'm guessing there were 10 angry women looking for him.
And again, one is enough. What guy thinks, you know what's better than having one woman mad at me? What if I could have 10 different women mad at me all at the same time? That'd be great. Well, his saga began to unravel after Mr. Coleman, and I say Mr. because he wasn't Pastor Coleman or Bishop Coleman, as he purported to be. He married a woman in Houston just a few years ago. This was 2021. And 5 months into their marriage, prosecutors say, his newest wife found out that he was receiving money from a woman back in Virginia. Now, according to court documents, this new wife in Houston contacts this woman in Virginia on Facebook, and they begin to discuss what turns out to be their mutual husband.
Wow.
Wife in Virginia says to the new wife in Houston, well, I've been married to Mr. Coleman since 2019. And even to prove that she wasn't just pulling this out of the air, she sends a copy of their marriage certificate to the woman in Houston, like a JPEG or a GIF. Here's the marriage certificate. This proves we're married. Well, this leads to the question, why did Orlando use the same name every time that he got married?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, that's the logical question. Why would you do that? Because that's quite a trail of digital breadcrumbs, if you will. And this is a question to which really I think we can only speculate. Now, maybe he had discovered people like the sound of it. Orlando, maybe they thought it reminded them of Walt Disney World. Maybe he had fraudulent credentials listing him as a clergyman under that name.
I see. I see.
But I don't know. I mean, have you got any other idea why he might stick with the same name for marriage after marriage after marriage?
No. It seems to me that a good con man will come up with a different name for his con. He's not a very good con man, I guess.
No, he's not. He's not. And obviously, if he knows he's going to do this again and again and again and again, he's got to be thinking, well, it's why not just stick with this name rather than having to come up with a new one every time, you know?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. So in any case, the woman in Virginia tells the woman in Houston, the newest wife, that she and Coleman had never been divorced, although they had separated in 2021 when he moved to Texas. 2 weeks after that move, he gets married again, this time to the woman in Houston.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
You know, he's got stuff to do, pal. He can't just dilly-dally.
That was a long and romantic relationship they must have had.
Yeah. It's quite a courtship.
I mean, 2 weeks doesn't give you enough time to even call the caterer.
No, that's true. And line up the furniture rental.
Right. the tents, you know.
Yeah.
They're always at a premium that time of year.
Sure, sure. The big white tents. So not surprisingly, upon discovering all of this, the newest wife in Houston does what most people would do. She calls in the law. And the Harris County Sheriff's Office investigates, and they file bigamy charges against Orlando Coleman. Now, bigamy is a felony in Texas, and I would guess that it is in most places. And he pleads guilty to bigamy in July, just last year, July 2023. Why didn't he dispute the charges? Well, because the guilty plea was in exchange for just 3 years of probation and the chance to have his record cleared, which had to have seemed like a pretty sweet deal to Orlando Coleman, right?
Yes.
3 years probation and then they take it off my record and I can start all over again.
This time with a new name.
Well, what would you guess, JG, might have happened just 2 months later, while he was still married to these other women?
Maybe he called the tent rental place?
I don't know if he called the tent rental place or the caterer, but he did marry yet another woman.
Oh my God.
And this time, a woman in Kentucky. I'm sure she was a lovely, I'm sure all of these women were lovely, lovely women. So after learning about this newest marriage to the woman in Kentucky, prosecutors in Texas were like, screw this. They filed a motion to revoke his probation. And at the hearing, the judge agreed and gave Coleman 3 years prison sentence. So finally, at least, the bigamist is facing consequences. Now, of course, to you and me, that would have been like, okay, I guess my game has run its course. I'm going to do my 3 years prison time. I've learned my lesson. I'm done.
Please don't tell me he found a wife in prison.
Well, he handwrote what he surely viewed as an eloquent letter asking the court to continue his probation and to not only judge my case, but judge my heart. Isn't that sweet?
That's lovely.
Isn't that pastoral?
Mm-hmm.
He said he never imagined that his latest wife, the one in Kentucky, would, and I'm quoting here, quote, come into my life and become my everything, unquote. He explained that he thought he was free to marry her because he believed his previous marriage had ended in an annulment or divorce. Hard to remember the difference, maybe. Was my latest marriage annulled or did we get a divorce? You know, there was so much going on and there, I had the caterers and the tents were here. And
guys, yeah.
It was all very confusing. Mm. Well, the letter didn't end there. He also fell back on the childhood trauma card, saying that while he was growing up, he didn't know love on any level. And then he played the ignorance card. He said, if I knew getting married wasn't allowed, I would have waited. Then came the credentials card. Alongside his name, Coleman added PhD, THD, and DD to indicate he held degrees not only as a doctor of philosophy and a doctor of theology, but also a doctor of divinity.
Wow. He was busy. How did he have a chance to study with 10 angry women chasing him?
To say nothing of caterers wanting to get paid for their for their food and their big white tents. But the prosecutors found absolutely no evidence that he had held any of these degrees. So he concludes with what he must have viewed as his last strong bargaining chip. He declared he hoped to put the bigamy charge behind him and return to, quote, the church we pastor in Kentucky, helping to feed and clothe people.
Mm.
Because, you know, how can we possibly blame a guy who's deserted any number of swindled women he married just by lying when he, quote, helps feed and clothe people. But fortunately, the prosecution was not taken in by his eloquence. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison. The victims who heard the news of his conviction, some of whom had already filed for divorce, they were all delighted. An assistant district attorney, Gowson, the one that I mentioned before, said, from my conversations with them, they wanted him to go to prison because they felt this person abused their trust based on a title, and they believed he would do it again, and they were very upset. So, in conclusion, a warning to all our listeners, if someone shows up at your church claiming to be a bishop or pastor whom no one has ever heard of before, and within a few weeks proposes marriage to a financially comfortable single woman. Tell her to listen to today's show. We're proud to provide this as a public service here at The Shallow End with Schnebly and Toth.
That's just sound advice.
Although now that I think about it, JG, maybe we should also be out there helping to clothe and feed people along with that last deserted wife in Kentucky. Maybe we can send a donation of some kind.
Well, that sounds very nice.
Finish the work that Orlando didn't quite find time to finish.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Find out the address.
It's a big-hearted podcast.
As we move into summer, so many plans, so many opportunities to do things that it can actually become stressful. And you don't want meals to become part of that stress. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted and dietitian approved.
Yeah, JG's right. The only thing better than delicious meals are ready-to-eat meals that you can prepare in just 2 minutes.
No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping and cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up on your springtime food goals.
And it's tailored to your schedule. Customize weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor's your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Look, just head to factormeals.com/shallowend50. That's right. Use code shallowend50. That gets you 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code shallowend50 at factormeals.com/shallowend50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Is your retirement funding being dragged down by the stock market? Are you tired of uncertainty? Want to have the security of real silver in your hand? Then look no further than Silverton, Colorado, where we got so much silver you almost trip over it as you walk down Main Street. Need $10,000 in raw silver? No problem. Just visit Silverton City Park and chip off as much as you want from our silver veins poking through the playground mulch. Or visit our many gift shops and antique stores, where you'll find more silver items than you ever dreamed possible. You want a 5-foot statue of an American Eagle carved from pure silver? It's just $5. Need silver jewelry? Take it. It's yours. Want to avoid an IRS audit? Visit our bank, where we'll notarize your haul as 100% artificial.
This ad has not been approved by any governing body of Silverton, Colorado. Any attempt to remove silver from our town will be treated as theft. All perpetrators will be prosecuted to fullest extent of state and federal laws. Be advised, Silverton is an historic and secluded town. Locals will resent your presence. Thieves have been known to disappear in the many mine shafts that still exist.
Your financial future awaits in Silverton, Colorado. Remember, you can't spell Silverton without saying silver.
So as I mentioned, that story that I read, JG, was from the New York Times and edited, polished by my sister. And that commercial that we just heard, I'd need to give a shout out to Kyle Randall, who not only came up with that idea, but actually wrote most of that commercial.
And so just sent it in.
And I'm thinking, if you and I are smart enough, eventually we can get our listeners to be doing absolutely all the work, including reading all the stories, and you and I can just sit back and do nothing.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I love that. We'll just we'll just have a couple of chuckles and push it down with Brown.
Our email address, the one that Kyle used to send that commercial idea, is lifeguard@shallowendpodcast.com. We got an email from a woman named Courtney. I think we've talked before about how much we love the name Courtney. She says, hello, does The Shallow End have a version of the Boo Effect? If it does, I just had one. I was listening to episode 16 the other day. Parentheses, I know I have quite a few to catch up on, but I do like to partake from the beginning. I completely understand, Courtney. I agree. It was the episode where Lindsay was regaling us with the tale of United's blatant disregard for personal property, and boy, how mad that made me. Remember that? It was the United Hates Guitars?
The guitar story, yeah.
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 For context, I've never listened to Dave Carroll before, and my social media is mainly cars and recipes, but after binging The Shallow End earlier this week, you will not believe what rolls across my Instagram reels today but a clip of Mr. Carroll's video song.
No.
United Breaks Guitars. Anyway, I just found it one of those interesting things and felt the need to mention it. I love your podcast. I have been a Box of Oddities fan from around episode 50, but Shallow End is quickly becoming a regular on rotation, especially when I'm feeling embarrassed about something silly or dumb I've done.
Yeah.
And I need reassurance that others have done way worse. Keep it going. All the best, Courtney.
Oh,
thank you, Courtney.
It's our job. That's our mission here, is to help you build your self-esteem through other people's stupidity.
Lifeguard at shallowendpodcast.com. Thanks, Courtney. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, everybody who's been writing in. We appreciate it.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
You're in The Shallow End with Schnapley and Toth.
I believe, if memory serves, that you go next.
Well, yeah, by process of elimination, that would be correct.
It's a binary option, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's either on or off. So do you have any fears of like snakes or spiders or anything like that?
Yeah, snakes, I think, are really, really creepy. And we frequently see them on our hike because we're in kind of a desert area of Southern California, and Nancy and I have frequently seen both garden snakes and rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
And there's something we've agreed really creepy that God designed snakes that way just so that any human would look at them and instantly want to be very far away.
Yeah.
It's just a survival thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes these types of fears can be paralyzing. And that's what the story is about. Picture this. It's a cool September evening in the Motor City, in the suburbs of
Detroit.
The kind of night where, you know, it's like an early summer night. You got a warm breeze going. It's a lovely scene. Now, the neighborhood mobile gas station is lovely this time of year.
In Detroit.
And the glow of the overhead fluorescence promises a safe harbor for the weary commuter and the trusty steel steed.
Ooh, sell it, baby.
Okay, so our protagonist, he's just kind of an average Joe. In fact, that's what we'll call him. We'll call him Average Joe.
We'll call him Average Joe. I like it.
He had finished his daily grind and was cruising into the gas station, which is located at 10 Mile and Van Dyke. In Detroit. His chariot of choice, a classic four-door, nothing fancy, but it had wheels and a gas tank that always seemed to be on empty. So he rolls up to the pump, nozzle in, numbers rolling, and that's when he sees his biggest fear, a giant hairy spider.
Oh, boy.
An eight-legged, eight-eyed spider.
8 eyes.
Yeah. Wow. Huge. It had taken up residence on his car's side view mirror. Have you ever had that happen? That happened to me in Maine all of the time, where they would build a web
Seriously?
Between the driver's window and the side view mirror.
And, wow.
And I would drive to work, you know, 65 miles an hour with a spider just hanging on. And and he would make it. He did the drive with me several times.
I think spiders in Maine must be more tenacious than those in California.
They're a hardy lot, Linz.
Yeah, they
are. I'm not going to lie.
It's even tough for a spider to get through a winter in Maine. So
yeah,
he must have thought, 65 miles an hour, that's nothing.
I laugh at your automotive speeds. So the arachnid in question, no ordinary sidewalk spider, something that you would see just crawling up a drain pipe or something. Mm-hmm. This guy was perched on Joe's mirror as if it owned it, and his minuscule mandibles practically tapping out a rhythm of tiny yet terrifying eight-leg tap dance. Joe's pulse didn't just race. Now, remember, he has a deathly fear of these things. It broke the sound barrier. His palms became sweaty. In his life, spiders were not just pets. They were the epitome of every dark and treacherous villain he's ever imagined, lurking in the closet or under his bed.
Interesting, yeah.
And this spider wasn't just crawling. It was taunting Joe. It was flaunting his legs, probably giving him a little spider finger. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, check this out.
Yeah, look at this. I'm number one. I know you're afraid of me.
Joe, for him, this was akin to a medieval siege. The spider was the dragon at the gates, and Joe, he was the quivering villager, minus the pitchfork.
Now, without you giving anything away, I want to remind listeners that as far as I understand this, while all this is going down in Joe's brain, mm-hmm. there's still liquid gasoline pumping into his gas tank. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. All right.
So he's wide-eyed and he's watching the spider's eyes shimmer like a beacon of doom. And its web seemed to be a trap set for catching the souls of the damned.
Like he's somehow going to get sucked into the spider's web and die.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was worried about it.
Yeah. All right.
Every movement he perceived that the spider made was a calculated dance of death. So Joe, in his horror-stricken psyche, the spider's web extending far beyond physical silk, it was a net that was trying to trap his soul.
Kill him, yeah.
Yep. So at least that's what his fear-soaked brain believed.
Sure.
Our hero was trembling like a leaf. He knew no sword or shield would save him. Now, he's no superhero, but he does have a weapon. A trusty Bic lighter. You know, the kind that you use to light the barbecue or candles or impress your friends with your ability to flick it open like a Zippo. He's not thinking about
if this was going to involve flame.
Yeah. He isn't thinking about
electricity.
That aforementioned river of high octane fuel flowing inches away. No, there's only one thought, man versus nature. And nature's looking like a spider the size of a dime. But in Joe's eyes, it's Godzilla.
It is. It's a huge dragon about to envelop the entire gas station.
So with a flick of the lighter's wheel, was a declaration of war, really. A mini inferno erupts. Less 4th of July and more, oh Lord, why? the spider, martyr to the cause, like everything else, enveloped in flame. Now, Joe's victory dance is cut short as his car becomes a makeshift rocket booster.
Oh, God.
Now, Susan, enter the clerk. Susan, who's seen her fair share of shenanigans from behind the register, witnesses...
I can only imagine.
...the not-so-controlled burn. The fire sprints to the pump. Joe's car looks like a bonfire. But Joe, to his credit, as Susan slams the emergency stop fuel switch and calls 911...
Right.
Joe grabs a fire extinguisher.
Hmm.
And he gets the fire out. He douses the flames. Because she had shut off the fuel. And so that combined with him in the fire extinguisher. By the time the trucks rolled in, lights flashing, their disappointment at missing the show, Joe, all they saw was Joe just standing in a puddle of foam and regret. When the dust settles and Susan's trying to piece together this symphony of stupidity, Joe plays it off like it was static electricity from his car.
Oh, I see.
That
the
he
old
got out of
static
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. It was like saying my dog ate my homework.
Yeah, this had nothing to do with a spider that I thought was going to kill me.
No. It's like a dog ate my homework. If his dog was a dragon and your homework was a gas station, I guess.
Static electricity.
The truth comes out eventually. Joe confesses to his pyrotechnic pest control. The pumps looking like the twisted steel wreckage of the loser at a Transformer fight. And the insurance guys are rubbing their temple, but no charges happen for our hapless hero.
Okay. All right.
Although
that's very, very lucky.
Yeah, he was very, very lucky. And to his credit, Joe returns to the scene of the self-induced yet awesome display of pyrotechnics, hat in hand, apologizing for nearly sending the gas station into space.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not really a bad guy, just a guy with a phobia big enough to fuel a firestorm. So next time you see a spider dangling from your side view mirror, remember, they're more afraid of you than you of them, unless you're Joe, in which case invest in bug spray and a good therapist. Because when it comes to gasoline and flames, it's better to lose the battle and win the war. Especially if the war involves keeping your car and eyebrows intact.
If I were directing this as a short film, the very last shot would be Joe's car on the bed of a tow truck, a flatbed tow truck being towed away. And there would be a slow dolly in to the mirror and the spider is still there laughing. Like, after all that, I'm still here.
Yeah. You can't kill me. Yeah, I can envision that very easily.
Wow. That's amazing that I've never even heard of that being a thing. Spiders on rearview mirrors and that happened all the time in Maine.
It did, yeah.
That's crazy.
Story comes from CBS News Detroit.
The 313.
Yep.
I would love to hear any other listeners, because this is one of those things where I'm going to feel like an idiot, because about half an hour after this drops, we're going to get 30 emails saying, can't believe Lindsay's never heard of the spider in the rearview mirror thing.
It's the side view mirror. It's outside.
Side view mirror. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
I'm sure that there are going to be people that back me up on this.
Oh, I know there will.
Lifeguard at shallowendpodcast.com. Let's all make Lindsay feel stupid.
Please. It would make me smile. We appreciate you guys listening.
We do. We always have. We always will. And we'll look forward to hanging out with you next time. And until then, continue to make good choices.
Your life might depend on it.
So concludes another episode of The Shallow End with Schnepley and Toth. We thank you for listening. Oh, be a dear, would you? Please subscribe to this podcast, give these boys a 5-star rating, and think of something nice to say, even if you have to make something up. And visit us online at shallowendpodcast.com. Okay, gotta go.
Do you love history but hate when it's stuffy and boring? Well, look no further and join me, Katie Charlwood, your friend the neighborhood social scientist and reader of books, as I delve into unsolved historical mysteries, murders by gaslight, and of course, women who have been misrepresented through all time. On Who Did What Now, the history podcast that's not your history class. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello everyone, Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.